Amen. Well, I trust that you have received a handout tonight, and we are in the book of Philippians, and we are just coming to a close. This is session number 8 of the series on Discipleship Explored. What does it mean to be a disciple? And tonight's passage is based on Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through the end of the chapter. And we'll go over those questions, and as we have always had before, Barry Cooper, I believe is his name, is going to share a little bit about this passage, and so we're going to ask my wonderful wife to help us with this, to get the video going, and let's pay attention. Okay, here we go.
Before I became a Christian, I looked for contentment in films, cinemas, mostly cowboys. Oh, that was something special to me. And also drinking with my friends. We used to go to cinema with a bottle of whiskey in the pocket, and we were drinking and looking at the films. And that was my life. That was my contentment before I became a Christian.
I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All God's people here, send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
I looked at just about everything in creation to bring contentment. I was 17 when I picked my husband to marry because he was a really good person and not like anybody else I knew. So I knew because I was missing something, and I knew I was missing something. What I really needed was to be married. So I married at 18, and my husband and I would talk about it. Wow, this is great, but there's this gnawing emptiness, this hunger, this something we're missing. And so we moved home, and that's when it really blew up. Everything went pear-shaped at that point. And so that didn't do it. And then it occurred to me, this emptiness, this hunger, the one thing that was the constant was my husband, Jim. So what I needed was a new husband. So I found his replacement, and we accidentally got involved in a Bible study because we were didn't want to hurt the man's feelings who invited us. And it was in that Bible study, studying the Gospel of John, during this time that I realized my biggest need, my hunger, my emptiness would be filled by a new husband. My husband actually got saved. Me, not yet. I'm dead set on my path to fill this emptiness. And it was not long after that he actually led me to the Lord, the night I asked him for a divorce. And so it was a radical change in life.
What do you need to be content? What is the one thing you feel you lack? And you think to yourself, you know, if I just had that, then I'd be happy. I could handle anything as long as I had that. For a long time, for me, it was marriage. I was single into my mid-40s, and the temptation was to think that everything I struggled with in life, times of depression, times of intense loneliness, all of that would be somehow fixed when I got married. My life would finally begin. Now, my wife is an incredible woman, but can another human being really fulfill our deepest longings for lasting happiness and wholeness? I think many of us believe that. We think that the secret of contentment is changing our present circumstances in some way. Get more approval, get more stuff, live in a nicer home, surround myself with people who love me more, understand me better, and then I'll be content. But how much is enough? How much approval or power or comfort do we need before we finally feel content? One poll asked Americans how much money they believed it would take them to realize the American dream. Americans who earned $25,000 a year believed it would take $54,000 a year. Those who made $100,000 on average believed it would take $192,000. Apparently, our contentment requires about twice as much as we currently have. However much we currently have. But as he signs off his letter to the Philippians, Paul turns all that upside down. He says that he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances, even apparently if you happen to be chained to a Roman guard, effectively on death row. He sees that real contentment isn't anything to do with how much you have or how little. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, I think I can make the case that Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is the most abused verse in Scripture. It's usually translated, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's the kind of thing athletes get tattooed on their biceps, as if it means they can run faster and jump higher if they're in Christ. But a better translation is the one here. I can do all this meaning contentment in every situation, through him who gives me strength. You and I can have deep and lasting contentment, but it can only be found in Christ. Now the Philippians seem to get this, that real contentment can only be found in Christ. You can tell that the Philippians aren't looking for contentment in money or material possessions because they've been so generous with Paul. Even though they were really young followers of Christ, Paul tells us here that they were the only church who supported him when he set out from Macedonia to plant other churches, sending him aid more than once when he was in need. He describes it as sharing in his troubles, not just sending money or a gift, but loving him so much that there's a deep emotional connection between them. It's as if his troubles are their troubles and their troubles are his. It's a lovely illustration of one of the main themes of Paul's letter, koinonia, partnership, togetherness. Not just pretending to care about others, but feeling their pain almost as if it's our own and giving as generously to them as we'd give to ourselves. That's the kind of church Paul wants us to be creating.
There were nights where we were sitting on the couch watching TV. It was one particular night. We were sitting on the couch watching TV, 9, 10 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, there was a knock at the door. I'm like, who's knocking at the door this late at night? I open my curtains to see. All I see is a black shadow running up the street. I'm like, what? I open the door. There's a humongous box of groceries and an envelope with $300 in it. We lost it. I'm thinking about it now. I'm getting emotional.
Did you ever find out?
No. My wife posted it on Facebook. She says, thank you to whoever left this box of groceries for us. And it's truly a work of God because you got Lenny's favorite cereal. It was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, part of the part of the box of groceries.
Now, Paul's at pains to point out, he's not saying all this because he's looking for another gift. He says here, I have more than enough. The reason he's encouraging them in their giving is really surprising. He says, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. He's more interested in the blessing they will gain by the act of giving than any benefit he might get from the gift itself.
Can you imagine how much we would give? How much we would sacrifice ourselves for others if we saw things in that way too? If we really believed the Lord Jesus' words that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Again, once we've understood how wealthy we are in Christ, we're free to give and give and give emotionally, physically, and financially, knowing, as Paul says, that God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. We do this trusting in the promise that we'll receive from Christ much more than we've given. Paul began his letter to the Philippians by reminding them of the one reality that changes everything. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And now he ends the letter by reminding them of the same reality. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus.
Because of that reality, Paul knows that the bond between them can't be stretched or broken by the small matter of 1,000 miles. They're in Christ together. And that's as true today as it was then. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings.
Especially those who belong to Caesar's household. I wonder if there was a little twinkle in Paul's eye as he wrote that. There he was chained to a Roman guard, and now even those in the highest courts of the Roman Empire are coming to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. We learn something profound about contentment from the Psalms in the Old Testament. This is what King David wrote.
I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content.
Now, a weaned child is content simply being in his mother's arms. He's calm and quiet because he's learned to trust his mother completely, even though, of course, a small child can't possibly understand what's going on in a parent's mind. And it's the same with Paul. He's no longer anxious or fretful when things don't go the way he wants or expects. He's content in any and every situation because it's enough just to be in the arms of Christ.
I have learned to be content.
Whatever the circumstances.
I know what it is to be in need.
And I know what it is to have plenty.
I have learned the secret of being content.
In any and every situation.
Whether well-fed or hungry.
Whether living in plenty or in want.
I can do all these things through Christ who gave me strength. It's wonderful to serve Christ. It's so, I'm just feeling that short of time.
So what is the secret of Paul's contentment? As I've read and reread Philippians, I've started to see it on every page. And it can be your secret too. Whatever your circumstances, whether rich or poor, single or married, in prison or free, even in depression and loneliness, the reality is that your Father is with you. He's in the tears. He's in the hardship. And yes, He's in control. His fingerprints are all over your chains, whatever they may be.
Remember how God dashed Paul's plans and brought him to Philippi so that the Philippians could be saved. Remember how God made Paul's chains the very means by which the gospel reached the most powerful places on earth.
I felt like my heart was in him. And the first thing that came to mind is that, wow, God loves me this much. And every time I look at him, even when he makes mistakes, or he is a child, the first thing that comes to mind is God loves you more than you actually love your son and has much more in store for you than what you could do for your son. I mean, Jesus said you are wicked, but you can give your children good things. How much more would God do for you?
In my most troubled moments, as I think about what I've lost or what I've never had, yes, it's good to grieve. It's right to grieve. But there's something Paul is saying to me in those moments. Forget what is behind. Remember who your father is. And remember who you are. I am in Christ. I'm unimaginably rich in him. And even if the wheels have fallen off, I'm nearly home.
So let's take our Bibles, if you have them, or your tablet, wherever you find the scriptures, and we're going to read and follow along as I read Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 10 through the end of the chapter 23. Philippians 4, 10 through 23. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God add his blessing this portion of his word. Amen. So as we have our discussion sheet tonight, the first question is, and you feel free to give input as we dig into this passage. Question number one, if you're being honest, how would you finish this sentence? Quote, I can be content as long as blank. I can be content as long as blank.
If I have my health.
If I have my health. Yeah. Good. I can be content as long as blank. Okay, as long as I know that God's in control. All right, good, yeah. Yeah. What's that? If your bills are paid, I can be content as long as I know that my bills are paid. Yeah. Yeah, I can be content as long as. Some people might put, well, I can be content as long as I'm in control. And then something comes along and you're no longer in control, right? In our second session, you may recall the question, if your friends were to finish this sentence for you, what do you think they'd say about you? For them to live is blank. And we know that the verse that Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if your friends said something about you, for them to live is, you know. And I recall humbly asking that question to my wife. She had no idea why I was asking it. And she says, well, for you to live is guitar. Or some people might say, well, for you, Ted, to live is coffee. You know. But I really want it to be, for me to live is Christ. What does it take for us to make that next step, that next level, that people know that you're a child of the Most High God, that you are in love with Jesus Christ? Contemporary group years ago came out with a contemporary album, DC Talk, and the album was called Jesus Freak. Because you were known to be compassionate, radically in love with Jesus. What will it take? I can be content as long as. And if we're honest, you know, that might be. I can be content as long as I am healthy, or as I have all my needs met, or if this goes well with me. And Paul, he really understood, didn't he? The Apostle Paul, I've learned to be content in any and every circumstance. He says that in verse 12. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then I can do all this, as they said, the NIV, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, or I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Question number two. If we currently feel discontent, what would Paul say to encourage us? And that's verses 11 and 12. What would Paul say to us? If we, he knows. Who knows? God knows. He knows our needs. Not that I'm speaking, verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be in content. I know how to be brought low and again know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He has this unshakable confidence in God. And being content isn't dependent really on gaining something we don't currently have. We have learned to be content whatever his circumstances. That's what Paul has learned, both in need and plenty. And we can too, you know. If I only got that, you know, young people, if I only wore that new sneaker, or if I only got that new phone, that gadget, and then we find out that the new gadget that you got's already out of date and you want another new one, right? Or what it might be. Okay. Question number three. Where does Paul find true contentment according to verse 13? And then it's also in chapter 1, verse 21, and verses 10 and 11 of chapter 3, and then in verse 7 of chapter 4. But where does Paul really find contentment?
Well,
in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. I really liked what he shared on the last video that we got to see about Philippians 4:8, because I really love that verse. Helps me in my thinking, whatever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. But Barry on that, he says that's a perfect verse that describes Jesus. Jesus is true. Jesus is noble. Jesus is right. Isn't he lovely? Jesus is pure. He's admirable. He's excellent. And he's worthy of our praise. Yeah. Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we can find contentment. Question four. Paul is in chains as he writes. He's been hungry and he's been in want and he has had many troubles. Verse 12 and verse 14 speak of that. Yet he is content in Christ. And the question, the challenge is briefly skim through Philippians to find some of the things that make this possible for Paul to be content. What are some verses that tell us that he was content? Go back to chapter 1. What gave Paul contentment? Christ gave Paul contentment, yes. And then as we go through the chapter, well, he is thankful for all the believers because they are in Christ. Verse 6, he says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ. So there was this confidence that he had that Jesus began a good work in him, but also in the other believers, and that Jesus will finish the work he's begun. God doesn't leave his work unfinished. Verse 12. Notice there, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So he views that all that good, or the suffering, the low parts, as well as that of plenty, all of that's been done to advance the good news of Jesus. He knows that Jesus is in control of all his circumstances. Even the bad circumstances are working together for good. Verse 21 of chapter 1, what's that say? It says, for to me to live is, we mentioned it earlier, Christ, and to die is gain. In chapter 3, verse 8, he kind of echoes that. He says, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. If we were really able to just pause for a moment and be still and focus on Jesus Christ and our relationship with him, nothing else really compares to that. Paul says everything else is rubbish. We see that his greatest joy in life is Christ. Even death can't rob him of that. He knows that his salvation rests securely on what Jesus has done, not on anything he himself has done. And he relies on Christ. He says that in verse 8, indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. In chapter 3, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then that famous verse, verse 10, that I may know him. I may know him. So he found great contentment in knowing Jesus Christ. He wanted to be more like him. He wanted to, yes, know the power of his resurrection, as chapter 3, verse 10 says. And he also wanted to be able to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that he may attain the resurrection from the dead. He really wanted to know and be like Jesus. Verse 20 of chapter 3 gives us another reason why he could be content. Because he knew that his citizenship is in where? In heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's going to be a glorious day. Can you imagine that? What that will be like? We'll have new bodies. Oh, we'll recognize each other, I believe. But it's going to be new and improved. You know, I remember my brother's mother-in-law when she graduated to glory. Before she graduated to glory, the story was Betty Gilly. She was 91, and she said this. She goes, I just can't wait. I can't wait to go to heaven and be with Jesus. But when y'all get there, referring to her grandkids, but when y'all get there, you won't recognize me. I'll have to reintroduce myself to you because I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new body. And that was her hope. What a hope we have. Paul knew that. His citizenship was in heaven. Wow. He knows in chapter 4, verse 5, that comfort that will come from the Spirit of the Lord, and that the Lord will return, and he is just looking forward to that. He knows that he can speak to God anytime and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Chapter 4, let your requests, let your reasonableness or your requests be made known. The Lord is at, you know, the Lord's end. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he had that, and he says, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He personally experienced that. He knew that. He knew that God would meet all his needs in verse 19. And so he had that confidence there that God was at work and was going to continue that good work, and so therefore he could be content. Wow, that's quite maybe I would call it unshakable faith in that moment. Question 5. Which of these realities that we just kind of went through really quick do you struggle to believe? Reality that God's doing a good work in you and he's going to finish it? God's not going to do that work in me. I'm no good. No. God's, if you put your faith in him, God has began a good work in your life. And he is the master builder, the master carpenter. He's at work in your life. Our responsibility is just to get out of the way and let God do the work in us and through us, right? Is God in control of all the circumstances? Is he working everything to good for your good? Is your greatest joy in life Jesus, or is something trying to choke that joy and that peace out? Do you realize and recognize that you can speak to God 24/7 all the time? And that is just a privilege that we have in prayer. And that as we do, we can experience his peace as we trust in him. And that he'll lead us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's really up to his reputation. We've kind of closing down our study of Philippians through Discipleship Explored. That doesn't mean that Philippians will not stop speaking because it's the inspired word of God. But, you know, what are the next steps? Are there any things you'd like to, new resolutions you'd like to make? Is there anything your brothers and sisters could help you with, you can share? Is there anything that's been striking to you in this study? And then on the back of the sheet, as you know, And the next sheet is a daily devotional that you can take time and to read. And, you know, a good prayer is even on the last part on day 6, that wonderful prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippians. We can pray for one another. He says in verses 9 through 11, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I trust that we'll pray that for each other this week. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the gift of knowing you and having a relationship with you. Thank you for the grace that has been given. Father, may we be heralds of the gospel, that we may be able to even look at situations and circumstances in our life, even like the Apostle Paul did, and say everything that has been done to promote the gospel. Father, may we be light to others. And then, Lord, I pray that you will help us, that our love for one another and our love for you will abound more and more in Christ Jesus. Even as we know that the day of the Lord's return is rapidly approaching, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to love each other more deeply, and that others will see the love of Christ and turn to you and trust in you. Thank you that you don't leave us as unfinished projects, that you will complete that good work that you've begun, especially when we see you face to face. And what a glorious transformation that will be. So, Lord, I pray that you will help all of us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Help us to learn to live is Christ and to die is gain. Help us to be content in every circumstance because we are in Christ Jesus. This we pray and this we thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.